I've heard that people were saying, you know, I don't really know how to pray. I don't even know how to start praying. It's kind of like having writer's block if you're writing a book or a poem or whatever. That sometimes, you know, you just have to put pen to paper and just start. It's the same case with talking with God. You know, you just talk to him normally as you talk to people. And it doesn't really matter what you say. You just need to say something. That's a prayer. When we all walked in to Mass today, we dipped our hands into holy water and we made the sign of the cross. That's a prayer. It's reminding us of the passion that Jesus went through and died for our sins on the cross. So we make the sign of the cross. That's a prayer. Sometimes you see baseball players, they come up to the plate and they make a sign of the cross. I mean, really fast, kind of sloppy, you know? But that's a prayer. They're at least asking God for some help. And like most of the ball players, they strike out, they fly out, they ground out. That's about what 70-80% of the players do on any given time at bat. And God doesn't always give us what we ask for, but we continue to ask. That's a prayer. And probably we've all woken up sometime in the middle of the night and we can't get back to sleep, try as we may. So that's a time to ask God to put us back to sleep. Pray one of your go-to prayers, the Our Father, Hail Mary, or you can just talk to God. Take some time. You're there, you're laying there, there's nothing else to do. You're not sleeping. Ask the Lord, what have you got for me? And then listen. Listening is a great prayer. Can you remember a time when maybe you were visiting or someone was visiting you, whether it was a family member that you haven't seen for a long time, or maybe some friends, good friends that you made, you know, whether it's in high school or college or whatever it might be. And you hadn't seen them for a long time. And what happens? You talk to them for hours. It's way past your bedtime. And it seems like it really wasn't important what you talked about. What was important was the time that you spent with these people. The feeling of being close together again, even if it was just for a day or maybe just the evening. That's a prayer. A coworker came into my office one morning and he told me, he says, I spent the entire night last night talking to God. And I thought, wow, what kind of questions did you ask him? What kind of answers did he give you? He said, you know, really, I don't remember. I don't remember anything in particular we talked about. He says, we just chit-chatted like old buddies. Well, taking time to talk with God, no matter how long it takes, that's a prayer. Meditation engages our thoughts, our imagination, our desires, and our emotions. And it deepens our faith, our conversion of heart, and strengthens our will to follow Jesus. So sometimes reading a book or reading scripture or looking on an icon can start the juices flowing. So if you're thinking about an icon of the Annunciation, and you begin to meditate upon it, you may think, well, where was Mary when the angel first appeared to him. Was she at home? Or maybe she was out on a walk. So, exactly where Mary was, Scripture doesn't really tell us, but we can think about where she might have been. She could have been at home, she could have been out on a walk. And men in those days didn't talk to women along the street. So I wonder if the angel just jumped into it, told her what he came to tell her, and took off. Maybe not. Maybe he took time to ease her apprehension about a strange person that she's never seen before talking to her. So let your imagination wander all over the place. And before you know it, you may have gained a much deeper appreciation of the Annunciation. That's a prayer. Another way is to become a participant in a Scripture passage. You know, it may be your favorite passage, or maybe you were reading Scripture and you came across a passage that you didn't pay much attention to it at one time, but it kind of struck your fancy. So you can become a person in that Scripture passage. You can become the main character. You can become one of the people who just happened to be standing around as they were observing it firsthand. So that's when you stay with it. Give it time for the plot to unfold and to come alive. It's a time to spend time with Jesus. That's also a prayer. And Scripture tells us that we should always pray. Always pray. So when I think about praying always, sometimes I break that word up into two words. Instead of always, I think of it as all and ways, that I can pray with him in many different ways. So that kind of prayer doesn't really restrict us to a certain kind of rote prayers. It helps us to use all of our senses and our imagination. So if we were out, we're doing our chores, do them as if you're working for God. And let our chores be our prayer. But it can go much deeper than that. When our hearts, our minds, and our souls are hurting, and the more the hurt, tears come to our eyes, let those tears be your prayer. Scripture tells us about a passage where the disciples and Jesus were out on the Sea of Galilee and a big storm has come up. And these professional fishermen were scared. It must have been a really big storm. They're scared that they're going to capsize. So what do they do? Well, the first thing they do is, where's Jesus? He's not on deck. They go below. He's sleeping in the stern of the boat. And they wake him up and said, Master, we're about to capsize. Aren't you worried about us? And Jesus slowly gets up and he calms the seas. But he was sleeping. He knew that his heavenly Father was in control and he didn't have anything to worry about. So for him, it was a time to catch a few winks. These are the times that we should realize that our Heavenly Father is at the helm. Give the situation up to God. Don't take it back. That's a prayer. So hey kids, if you weren't listening, listen up now. I have some good news for you. Did you know that playing is a kind of prayer? This type of prayer is also for parents and for all adults. But you kids know how to play better than us adults. And we have to get comfortable with being fools for Christ. We need to learn to play, because sometimes recreation is hard work. And play implies the absence of work. And fun is always a good time to share with others. And sometimes fun can actually explode into some great spontaneousness in a good way. And it may seem foolish to playfully pray or prayerfully play. One of the signs of the kingdom of God is the humble ability to laugh at ourselves and maybe at the power of others who think they are in control. At the Last Supper, Jesus went around and he was washing the feet of his disciples. And I wonder, as he was doing it, if he was kind of messing around and he's washing their feet and tickling the bottom of their feet. I wonder if they laughed or giggled. Can you imagine Peter giggling? So Jesus served them with humility, and we are to serve each other in humility. And it may seem silly, but such is the kingdom of fools and clowns. We may discover God in some unlikely places. So let's play more like children, for whom the gates of heaven are always wide open. So last Christmas, I opened up the last gift that was under the tree. I opened it up and I really didn't recognize what it was. It was called an indoor snowball fight. There were about 20 soft white snowballs. And I started pulling them out one by one. And I nailed my 18-year-old granddaughter right in the face. And I started throwing them out all over the place. And the kids were startled at first because they didn't know where this was going. And the adults were wondering, what's going to happen? And I didn't know myself. Well, the kids know how to play, don't they? The mayhem began. Everyone was being hit, and everyone was throwing snowballs at each other. And the kids found out pretty fast that it was okay to pelt mom and dad with a snowball. And it was okay to throw snowballs at the other adults. And the adults played right into it. And finally, one of the older granddaughters, who was becoming an adult and learning maybe playing isn't real good. Anyway, she yelled out, she says, "We've been doing this for 35 minutes. Well, you can imagine what happened. She got pummeled with snowballs. We played for an hour until our arms were so tired to play. That too was a prayer. So if we find time to be more foolish, we might find life to be happier and filled more with his divine presence. We might also find God in the silly and funny things of life. That too is a prayer. So almost anything that we do can become a prayer if we get in the right frame of mind.